The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana and Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." They cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. They were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of fish, 153 of them. And though they were many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he saw it. He said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. This is a very interesting chapter, chapter 21 of John. And a lot of the scholars believe that it's an extra chapter put on to the Gospel of John, because the resurrection of Jesus had already happened in the Gospel of John, and we don't really know how much time elapsed between the time of Jesus' resurrection and the writing of this particular chapter. One gets the feeling it could be a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, maybe even a year or two, because what we see in the disciples is they're just doing their regular thing. After this wonderful hoo-ha with Jesus, they go back to their regular lives. After the resurrection and death of Jesus, they go back to fishing. They have nothing to do. In other words, like sitting around waiting for something to happen. And it's Peter that says, "I'm going to go fishing." And all the other disciples says, "Yeah, we'll go with you." And then they go into the Sea of Tiberias and they're fishing and all that. So this is an interesting chapter because we don't know what's going on. And so a lot of the scholars think that this is not just a commissioning chapter, which if you look at the other Gospels of the New Testament, the commissioning of the disciples happens early in the readings of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? But this one comes out later, and Jesus never really commissioned the disciples during the Gospel of John. And so this is not only a commission, but it's a recommissioning. Because if you remember the story of John, there was none of the disciples that stayed with Jesus. They all kind of took off. Remember when they arrested Jesus, all the disciples left, including Peter. And Peter particularly was the one that was focused on the Gospel of John as denying Jesus three times. And so the disciples leave, and there's nobody except John, the beloved disciple of Jesus. And so what I'm thinking as I read this particular chapter is that Jesus is giving all the disciples another chance to kind of get back on track. They got to get back on the mission because they had lost their vision. They had lost their sense of passion and commitment to what's going on. But in particular, I'm looking at Peter today because Peter has a very different place that he's playing in this gospel. A lot of people think that this is an opportunity for Peter to be able to ask Jesus for forgiveness for denying Jesus those three times. And a lot of people read that, but it's not really in the gospel. What you find in the gospel of John is that the different synoptic gospels, what you hear is when they ask the disciples and they ask Peter, "Do you know the man?" Peter says, "I don't know the man." He says it three times, "I don't know the man." But in the Gospel of John, they ask him directly, "Are you not his disciple?" And he says, "I am not." Okay, that's an important part. I am not a disciple of him. And it's a very different position that Peter is taking in the Gospel with Jesus directly. He's not denying Jesus specifically, but he's denying his own mission to be a disciple. And so there's no need for Peter to receive forgiveness in this gospel, but what's necessary is that for Peter to regain his understanding of what Christ expects of him. Does that make sense? It's not so much that Peter did something and Jesus gives him a chance to ask for forgiveness, but as in this gospel that Peter is able to again reaffirm what he's supposed to do and what is it that Jesus is asking him to do, to be the disciple, to be the shepherd, to feed the sheep, to lead the sheep. And so he's giving him a chance to do that. And so as I read this, I say to myself, how many times do we have difficulty accepting our own identity? Because I think the only one that doesn't forgive Peter in this gospel is Peter. It's not Jesus. Jesus is just telling him, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Go tend my lambs and all these other things. But it's Peter himself in this gospel that's got to be reconnected to himself and reconnected to the commission and mission that God is wanting him to do, and where he was afraid to do it before. We know that he denied Jesus because he was afraid that he was going to be in the same boat with Jesus. You know, that with the charcoal fire that you see, you also see the fact that they're fishing and they don't catch any fish. These are all symbols to remind us that there are failures in their life. There were failures in their fishing and there were failures in their mission with Jesus. And so you get all these little hints that this particular gospel is more about reconnecting with Jesus and then reanimating yourself and then going back into mission. I mean, how many of us have been Christians for many, since we were children, right? What do you think you go to church? You go to church hopefully to get reanimated, right? You come to church to get invigorated, to get inspired, to go back into the world, because sometimes you lose the oompa. You don't have the energy. It makes sense in such a world that's so rotten, and so crazy. And so you find yourself even questioning why in the world you're a Christian. And so you need to come back and you need to hear the words again that God expects from us the best. And that we are capable of the best. But the only thing is that we're not sure of ourselves. We've given up on ourselves. We haven't given up on God, and God has not given up on us, but we've given up on ourselves. And so we need to come back and get reconnected and re-energized by the message that there's still so much to be doing and so many things to happen in our lives. Now, why don't people accept their identity, right? A lot of people could be a certain way. I'm getting close to 70, and I'm saying to myself, if I had been this way at 20, I would have kicked some butt. I would have done so many things, my God, because right now I'm not afraid of anybody, because I know who I am, right? I can stand on my feet and I can argue my ways. And so when I was young, I was always insecure. I gave everybody else the benefit of the doubt. I would shut up and listen, and I would let them do things. But you know what? I don't do that anymore. Because I realize that I have to stand up for who I am. I have to stand up for what I believe. I have to stand up for what it is that I want to accomplish in my life. And so the thing here is that where are we always compromising who we are for the sake of being, or the fear of being rejected? Identity is something that you gain through your experience and through your trust in yourself and by how you live your life. But we always put that second because we're afraid of someone misjudging us or someone not getting our point or someone, thinking that we're thinking better of ourselves than we can. And so really, I wonder if this chapter is a recommissioning for all of us to reignite ourselves and to feel confident about why we're here and what is it that we can do as Christians and what we can do as people, humans, for one another. And so the gospel says that, really, when Jesus comes, he comes back to the ocean, to the sea there. They haven't fished anything. He's making another appearance, and he's recommissioning them and saying, "Go, feed my sheep, feed my lamb, follow me." And so he's telling the disciples, let's get on it, okay? You've had enough vacation. You know, get back on the job. But he's saying that the world needs you just like I need you. The world needs honest people. The world needs authentic people. The world needs people who can be direct and could be strong in their opinions and be able to argue their ways. Being a Christian doesn't mean being mamby-pamby. It doesn't mean that you just always, you know, give to the other person. It means being wise. Jesus says, be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. He means you've got to be able to know what's going on in the world, be able to argue your way to the truth. We take it as though we have to be passive and humble and quiet and peaceful. And maybe that's not what he's suggesting today. He's suggesting today that we get back on the horse, like, you know, maybe Paul does, and get out there and do something. And so maybe we need that extra push. I mean, just look at the attendance today, right? A lot of people would say, you know, what is it? Easter's over. What the heck? Why should I go to church? You know, my new hat is not so new anymore. My dress is not so new anymore. You know, people come because it's a ceremonial thing to do. But we who come every time realize that it's a reinvigoration. It's an opportunity for us to get excited again, at least to be confident that what we're doing in the world makes sense, and it has a meaning and purpose. So Jesus tells Peter, come follow me, feed my sheep, telling, be the shepherd now. Be the shepherd, go out and do the work that I'm commissioning you, because you know what, I believe in you even though you don't believe in yourself. And that's a wonderful message if we take it to ourselves, that God believes more in us than we believe in ourselves, and we're capable of more than what we're doing, but we've got to be able to step out of that fear, step out of that security, step out of that protection. You know, and really seize the day, carpe diem, as they say. You know, get out there and be the witness and be the testimonial, be the voice and the presence of God in all that you do, and be able to stand up and not cow down to anybody. You have been commissioned by God. God has anointed every single one of you to go out there and be the light to the world, to be the salt of the earth, to be the witness to truth and justice, to stand up for good and beauty. And this is what we have to do. And no matter in what ways or where we live, we can have opportunities to do that. It doesn't mean that we have to go on marches or we have to write letters to our senators all the time. But it means that you have to be strong in where you stand, and you have to be clear in what it is that you mean and the way you treat others and the way you express yourself. So it's a very reinvigorating message, right? You're all reinvigorated. You're all ready to go out and do something wonderful for the Lord. Yeah. But that's the point, isn't it? We need to hear that once in a while, because, again, life is so short and we lose our focus. We lose our energy. Sometimes we even lose our hope. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. You know, I've gotten to the point that I almost get depressed. I don't want to get depressed because it's so hard to get out of that. It's so hard. Oh, my God. It's like a pit. Yeah, I got to climb out of that thing. And I look around and I keep seeing all these crazy things and, you know, the politics and the wars and all that. But I tell you, the only one thing that's going to save us is God. The only one thing that's going to save us is belief in love. It's belief in truth, belief in beauty. Trust in the power of God's word, and trust in God's power of love in the world. And this is what the only thing that helps me, that lifts me up, it gives me going. Because nothing else makes sense to me. Nothing else is good enough. So whenever you find yourself depressed or anything, lift up your eyes and behold the light. Look up to the mountains and see your Savior. Trust in Him. Everything is going to be all right. Give yourself to that love and to that power that He offers us. And don't give in to the darkness. Don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to the shadows of things. And above all, stay your ground. Stay your ground. Speak from where you are. Jesus asked, you know, do you remember, I don't really make any sense, but when I was in elementary school, do you remember when we were in elementary school, and they would just say, Marguerite, and you would say, here, John, here, Rachel, here. You remember when you said, that's what life is, you know, Harry, here. You've got to be able to respond that way to life. Remember that energy you responded in classroom, because you wanted them to know that you were here. You don't want to be marked absent. Your life, you don't have been marked absent in your life, do you? God says, where are you? You know, you're like, I don't know where I am. Here. You want me to say, I'm here I am. And you stand up to that and you speak from that. And this is what the Christian message gives you. It undergirds you and it gives you the confidence to be able to find your feet, to see that you stand on solid ground. to see that you stand on truth, to see that you stand on someone who believes in you more than you believe in yourself. If you take that, you'll be surprised at where you'll go and what the world will become. So don't lose faith. Please don't lose faith. Stay focused. Feel the love of God. Trust in the mission. Trust in His love for you. Amen.